Good morning, everyone. Let's turn, please, to that last word in the book of Ruth. The word, of course, is David, and we are considering the prophetic significance of this book of Ruth and what it has to say. And we've spent a little time around that. I'll not go over what it is we have said, but rather press immediately to what will be the last little study. We have digressed from the general purpose of our assembly talks. We have been looking at pictures of Christ as we find him represented and presented to us in the lives and the words and the actions of some of the great men of the Bible. We turned aside just a little while from that study to look at the prophetic inferences that are found in the book of Ruth. Now, we hope to finish that today. And then next week, when I'm with you on Tuesday, we'll actually continue to look at David, but looking at him, as it were, from another side. We'll be looking at him as he pictures for us the Lord Jesus. Here we're looking at David and how his name appears at the very end of this book of Ruth, suggesting to us that the writer of the book was looking forward to David's reign. I said to you that I believe the writer of this book is Samuel. And of course Samuel lived to see David being anointed of God and would have been shown by God, I'm sure, the wonderful kingdom that David would eventually rule over. So Samuel would have been excited by that thought. He would have been looking forward to the days that would come upon Israel under the kingship of David. And as he writes this book of Ruth, the last word is David. And I'm sure it suggests to us the longing within the heart of Samuel for the days of David. And I think that longing within Samuel's heart corresponds with the longing that ought to be in our hearts for the days of great David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. Because the life of David as king illustrates very wonderfully, particularly the reign of the Lord Jesus. And I'll come to that right away. But I do like to just bring you up to date, as it were, just remind you of where it is we're heading. The first thing that we find in the life of David that foreshadows the glorious reign of Christ is the fact that though he was anointed king, David was rejected by the majority of Israel and was followed by only a tiny minority at first. Just turn forward to the next book, which is, of course, the first book of Samuel, to the chapter 16. And there you have the wonderful account, the heartwarming account of David being chosen by God to be king over Israel. You remember Samuel was told by God to go to Bethlehem and see the sons of Jesse, for among the sons of Jesse, God had his king selected. And when he goes, all the sons are brought forward, big, strong, strapping fellows. And Samuel, when he saw the first one, he said, I'm sure this is the king, but no, it wasn't. And the next one, I'm sure he thought something similar, and right through the whole sons, but one. And still, God hadn't indicated that this son was the one. So Samuel says, have you any more sons? And of course, you know the story. David, even among his family, was not much thought of. He was the youngest. Nobody would want him if he was out looking after the sheep. And Samuel says, will you bring him in? And they brought him in, and listen to this. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. Let me stop right there. I have no doubt that David was a very handsome lad. Not just physically handsome, but there would have been that about him that was pleasing. You would have immediately, on seeing David, you would immediately have said, I like that fella. I like him. There was a look in his eye. There was an appearance to his countenance that just made him appealing. How like the Lord Jesus, boys and girls. I'm sure you've thought about what the Savior must have looked like. I have. He would have been lovely to look on. Your heart would have melted just to look at the face of the Lord Jesus. So even in appearance, there was this suggestion in David that linked him to the likeness of Christ. The next verse says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Here's David anointed king, but he didn't come to the throne right away. He didn't come to the throne. It was quite a few years before he came to the throne. And in those years, he was despised and rejected of men, and in many ways a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Turn to chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 22, and we're looking at the first two verses. And David therefore departed and escaped. Escaped. See, his life is under threat. He's in danger. He's escaping. He's on the run from Saul and the supporters of Saul. And he came to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. 400 men. It's likely that Israel could have put up to 1 million men on the battlefield. David had 400. Small minority, wasn't it? And look at the nature of them. They are those who were discontented and unhappy and miserable. I think a lot of their unhappiness came from the state of affairs in Israel under Saul. And they orientated to David and looked to him to eventually bring better days to the land. But don't you see a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus? David was living in the cave here in this instance. Cave of Adullam. I think it's in a particularly wild part of Israel. I remember travelling down from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. And as you got near to the Dead Sea, you came into a real wilderness, a real desert. Rocky, craggy, rough, wild place. And it was in the midst of that there was this cave. There was no palace. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus today, boys and girls. That's a picture of the band that looked to him as king. They're rejected, they're despised, and they're not thought much of. That's what it is to be a Christian. And I want to tell you, don't you think for one minute that you can live as a Christian and be welcomed and praised by the world. You won't. And if you're looking for the praise of the world, then you'll have to quit being a Christian. And of course there are many that do that. Many who profess to be Christians. And they want the praise of the world. So they stop walking in the ways of the Lord. They throw off obedience to his word. Because they want the approval of the world. Well, you just can't have the world and have the Lord Jesus. If you're going to have the Lord Jesus, then you're going to have the disapproval of the world. I'll come to the second point that I want you to notice here. David came to power after the death of the usurper. You know what a usurper is. A usurper is someone who takes the rightful place of someone else. They usurp that position. They have no right to it. It belongs to another, but they take it. They occupy it. David was anointed king, but Saul was on the throne. And David only came to power after the death of Saul. And there's a marvelous picture there, boys and girls, of future events. There is going to come one in this world who will claim the throne of the Lord Jesus. He will pronounce himself to be God. And it's only after his death that the Lord Jesus will take the throne. We're talking about the Antichrist. We're talking about his rise, his dominion for a short time, and then his overthrow at the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that foreshadowed in the experiences of David. Let me quickly give you a third likeness. Israel was in a state of utter defeat when David came to the throne. Turn right over to the chapter 31 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 31 was the last chapter of that particular book. And we're looking, please, at verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul, upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went against Saul. Saul was slain on Mount Gilboa, and all of his sons. And Israel was utterly defeated. That's when David came to the throne. It was just after that that he was anointed king in Hebron. When the Lord Jesus comes again, the nation of Israel will have been broken and smashed, just like it was in the days of Saul. Just like it was in the days of Saul. But the Lord Jesus will come in power, and he's going to restore Israel. First of all, by saving them. You can read the events in the book of Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. Those three chapters, look at them. And they bring you to that future event when Israel will be rescued from utter ruin and destruction and under Christ wonderfully restored. So there's the picture again, the parallel again. And finally, we have to say that David's reign reached to great heights. I don't really have the time to go much further. But look quickly at 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, and the verse 24. Now he had dominion over all the region on this side the river. That's the river Euphrates. Right over there in Babylon, from Tirzah even to Azra, and over all the kings on this side of the river, he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. That's the kingdom that Solomon enjoyed. And they enjoyed it because David had conquered all this territory. And this was the ancient territory promised by God to Israel. And there will be a fulfilling of that promise when Jesus comes again. Boys and girls, look out for these little pictures in the Bible. For God, if I might put it like this, so enjoys presenting this image, that it's written here, there, and yonder throughout the scriptures for you and for me to find, study, and be blessed by it. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray for your blessing. Oh, Let the word of God dwell in the hearts of the children richly. Bless those who are engaged today in exams. Help the candidates. Teach them, Lord, how even in an exam they can consult the Lord. They can seek His help. They can draw near to Him. Bless our school. Hear us now, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.